Turn together to the chapter that we read together, the 107th Psalm, and the 6th, 7th, and 8th verses. It's primarily the 6th verse that's laid upon my spirit, but we read 6th, 7th, and 8th. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ sets the preeminence in all things. He sets the perfect example on all things, the perfect Saviour. The one who never did a single sin, perish the thought. The one who came in to fulfil the law of God, not to disannul, not to destroy the law, but to fulfil the law in every jot until the perfect Saviour. And he sets the example in all things for you and I. We're called Christians. We're called believers. And we must follow our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ in all the example that he sets. He has set for us. All those examples that are recorded in his holy word. His humbleness. His humble walk here below. And how you and I, in our own nature, are proud. Proud creatures. I was a very proud young man before the Lord brought me amongst his people in my mid-20s. I had great desires. I wanted to see the world. I was going to go out to America. I'd already set up. Going to see the world, do great things. But that wasn't the Lord's pathway. No, you and I have got to come down. If we're amongst the Lord's people, the Lord will bring us down. Well, he must increase, but we must decrease. And the Lord, that pathway, that humble, he became as a servant. To fulfill the will of God, his own will, and for saving his people. And how he washed the disciples' feet. And you and I have to come in that same humility. What a mercy if the Lord makes us humble. Our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, ever obedient to the will of his Father. What a mercy if the Lord's made you and I obedient to his will. How often, well, I'll speak for myself, how often we want our own will, my own will to be done. I can remember when I first was brought amongst the Lord's people down at Cosholton in Surrey. And I can remember how the aged saints used to pray. And I remember one that used to pray, "Oh, the will of the Lord be done." Now, don't get me wrong. That is a very, very good prayer. The will of the Lord be done, if the Lord will. And as our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. But when we pray it, do we really mean it? What a high standard, isn't it? Do we really mean it? Or do we really mean my will be done, what I want to happen? And may the Lord make us submissive to his will. And may the Lord make us true followers of him. And our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ is a man of prayer. You can read in Luke, I think it's how he went up in a mountain and prayed all night. Ever in prayer. And that union with his Father. And what a concern, what a burden to him it was in the Garden of Gethsemane and on the cross. The hiding of his Father's face. What a man of prayer. What a mercy you and I, friends, in our pathway have got the privilege of prayer. Now, I use that word very carefully. Privilege. It is a privilege to be able to pray unto the Lord. It is a privilege to draw nigh unto. And may we not take that privilege for granted. It's a real privilege to be able to pour out our cries, our petitions, our troubles. But we must not also forget our thanksgiving and our praises. And how often in our prayers, how often in my prayers, this focuses on the trouble, focuses on the anxiety, focuses on the cares. But we must not forget to thank God. We must not forget to praise God. Now, what a mercy. You and I can call upon the name of the Lord. Think of it in your troubles, in your anxieties, in your cares. And what troubles? You may have your own troubles. You may have troubles in your own life, in your own circumstances, trouble in health, many difficulties. There may be troubles in your family. There may be things in your family or your children, grandchildren, and wider family that cause you great concern, that cause you great anxiety, that cause you great worries. There may be troubles in the church, troubles in our poor denomination, many schisms, many divisions, troubles in the nation, troubles in the nation, there are troubles. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. There are many, many examples in the holy word of God of the Lord's people when they were in trouble. And when they were in great difficulty, when they could, they had to cry unto the Lord. Think of Jehoshaphat. When that great company came against them, the children of Ammon and so on, they had no might against them. They couldn't fight against them. You may have enemies that come against you. They may be large in number, many doubts and fears. They're great enemies. But remember what Jehoshaphat did. Turned it into a prayer, didn't he? We have no might against this great company that's come against us. Neither know we what to do. They're brought to the extremity where they didn't know what to do. All the land taken. They were now camping outside Jerusalem. Neither know we what to do. But what a mercy, friends, he did know what to do. And what a mercy that you know what to do. Remember what Jehoshaphat did. Look to the Lord. We have no might against this great company that come again. Neither know we what, but our eyes are upon thee. He cried. Cried unto the Lord. And the Lord sent that aid and destroyed that great number. And what about Hezekiah? Remember Hezekiah brought to a great difficulty, a great extremity when the Assyrians came. And Rabshakeh and so on. And what did Hezekiah do? Laid it before the Lord. And cried unto the Lord. Cried unto him. And how the Lord delivered them. And again Hezekiah immediately after that was brought into that affliction. Oh, when the Lord sent his servant unto him. And told him that he would die. What a great trouble that was. And what did he do? He turned his face to the wall. And cried unto the Lord and wept those bitter tears. Now what a privilege it is that in your trouble, whatever your trouble is, and I don't know if you're in trouble. I don't know if you've got a trouble. All I know is this is the word that I've been asked, that the Lord's laid upon my spirit to come here and preach to you from this morning. I don't know if you're in trouble. I don't know if you've got a difficulty, an extremity, an impossibility. But what a mercy that in your trial, in your difficulty, in your extremity, you can cry unto the Lord. What a comfort it is to be able to cry unto the Lord. David knew it. Read it in the Psalms. So many of the Psalms, they cried unto the Lord in the various difficulties, the various extremities. They were in the third Psalm. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. He heard me out of his holy hill, a sailor. So many in the psalm, those cries, those tears. And remember the Lord's people when they were in Egyptian bondage. Those taskmasters that were put over. They couldn't even put the words, could they? Groaning. The Lord heard their groaning. And the Lord answered. What a mercy to have prayer. And even when we can't string words together. Even when our words fail us. Those groans, those sighs, the dropping of a tear when none but God is near. The 61st Psalm. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. And the psalmist here, David. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, will I cry unto thee from the end of the earth. What a position to get into. What an extremity. The end of the earth. Wits end corner. To be so cut off. To be so far. But to call upon him. To lay our petitions before him. And the psalmist again, when my heart is overwhelmed. Have you ever been overwhelmed? You ever felt your heart to be overwhelmed? Cares, concerns, worries, anxieties. Overwhelmed. You feel like the waves and the billows are going to go over your head. Feel like you're going to sink. Sink under the weight. Sink under the trial. Sink under the... And then they cried unto the Lord. What a mercy. And what does the Lord... Again, to this psalm. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. And that's what we need, isn't it? And notice the wording. It's very clear. Lead me. We need the Lord to lead us. And we can't put ourselves on that rock. The Lord has to lead us to that rock that's higher than I. The one who, an unchangeable God, covenant-keeping God, mercy. What could David say? Though my house be not so with God, yet it may be an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things. And that was David's hope, wasn't it? That was David's confidence, not in himself. Now, many troubles, many of those troubles brought on himself, of course. But he cried unto the Lord, overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. This poor man cried. The Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Poor man. Yes, poor man, poor, unable to do anything. Poor, and how poor we feel at times. How we feel our prayers are so blighted. Our prayers are so poor at times. How we feel we're so needy. So poor and needy. And what do we have to do when we feel our poverty? We have to cry unto the Lord. Lord, help me. That simple prayer. Three words that woman prayed. Lord, help me. You ever prayed that? One of the Lord's servants told me just after I'd gone into the ministry that he was told by one of the Lord's servants when he went into the ministry that there were three steps into a pulpit. And the steps were, Lord, help me. And have you proved it in your life? Have you had to cry out, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And what do we need help for? Everything. Absolutely everything. Help to continue. Oh, Lord, help me to grant me that strength. Lord, help me to follow thee. Help me, Lord, to pray. Help me, Lord, to call upon thee. We need the Lord even to help us to do that. Help me to lay my petitions before thee. What a mercy if you've ever brought to that circumstance where you feel to be helpless. Yes, as I said in prayer. We often look to ourselves. But we have to prove, as our hymn writer says, no help in self I find, and yet have sought it well. The native treasure of my mind is sin and death and hell. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. What a prayer, isn't it? What a simple prayer. What a short prayer. But what a very effectual prayer. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And there are many, many other examples that I could quote of those in the Holy Word of God that had to call upon the Lord in trouble, in their anxiety, when they were brought to that extremity, as I said, to wit's end corner, when they were brought even to feel at the ends of the earth. And I was trying, I asked the Lord to show me if there are any examples in the Holy Word of God where any did call. And the Lord didn't answer. Now there are reports in the Holy Word of God of those that did cry, the Lord wouldn't hear. But for those that he would hear, those that are his people, he answers. Every prayer gets an answer. Perhaps not in the way we wanted. Perhaps not in the way we desired. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. So what a mercy if in your trouble and in my trouble you've cried unto the Lord. Job knew it. About Job, what trouble Job had. Remember Job, it was the Lord's testimony of Job, was that he was a perfect and upright man, one that feared God and escheweth evil. And I've said amongst my own people at Braintree, I wonder what the Lord would say about you and I. I'm not perfect, Absolutely not. Far from it. There's only been one perfect man, and that's that God, man, the man, Christ Jesus. But a perfect man, one that tries to walk uprightly, one that tries to do that which is right in the sight of God. A perfect one that feared God. What a mercy to fear God. To fear him, to fear his name. Remember, I said in prayer, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we've got no wisdom of our own, no native wisdom. We have to beseech that we have to praise, we have to cry to the Lord that he grant us wisdom. One that feared God. Filial fear. Eschew his evil. But remember, Job, how the Lord permitted Satan to touch all that Job had. Those four messengers that came. One after the other, and each with a worse message than the one before, as if one wasn't enough. But a second, a third, a fourth, all his wealth, all his substance. Well, Job was a rich man before it was all taken. I know it was restored at the end. But all taken, and then his own children are taken. What grace the Lord gave unto Job, though. What grace to uphold him. Because we read that Job, when he had that news, those four messengers, sat down, rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. Think about that for a minute. And worshipped. He still worshipped God. How the Lord maintained him. How the Lord upheld him. He said that, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken. Taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What submission to the will of God. And then as all his health was touched. Those boils from the crown of his foot into the sole of his feet. What a condition. Those three friends that came didn't recognize him. So disfigured was he because of the affliction. And Job, well, those man is born unto trouble. As the sparks fly upward. Man is born unto trouble. And that's sin. That's what sin's done. Sin's brought trouble into this world. Man is born unto trouble. As the sparks fly upward. As sparks born unto trouble. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. But this could also be said. He shall deliver thee. In six troubles, yea, in seven, there shall no evil touch thee. So many troubles, many afflictions, many anxieties, many cares, and many concerns. But what a mercy if in your trouble, what a mercy if in my trouble, we cry unto the Lord. Cry unto the Lord in our extremity, in our difficulty. I remember. Some of you remember Christopher. I probably shouldn't mention his name. I remember one of my sons who used to gather in this place. And he now gathers in another place. But anyway, like all young men, he had his own will. And he obviously thought he knew better than his parents. What happened at a Christmas time, he borrowed my car, or our car, and it was icy. So my wife said to him, well, be careful, it's icy and slippery, take it slowly. He, like all young men, he said, well, I'll be all right, I'll be fine, don't worry, you know. And then we got a call about an hour later saying that he'd crashed. He'd gone round a corner too fast. He'd come off the road and the car was in the ditch. It was a write-off. And we had this call from him and he was distressed. I think he was in shock, actually. He was in shock. And he called us and so he wrote the car off. And what happened is it hit another car. And the car hit the corner of it. And the other car wasn't damaged that much. And there was a young man and a young lady in that car. And they were very, very unpleasant to my son. I'll put it like that. Well, the man was anyway. The boy was. Perhaps he was trying to show off to his girlfriend. I don't know. I wasn't there. But he was very unpleasant. Shouting and screaming and threatening to my son. And my son's quite a big bloke. But I think he was in shock. And I was really pleased when he told me, not pleased that he had the accident, although that was in the Lord's hand, because he wasn't injured. So there was teaching in that for him, and he's never had an accident since that I know of. So it did work for good for him. but it worked for good for him in another way. And when he called, I was very pleased. And don't get me wrong, I was not pleased because of the trial, at what parent would be pleased. So we weren't pleased, we were very upset. But he said this: I didn't know what to do. I cried unto the Lord. Now you might think, what a strange thing. I'm sure he was brought up to pray. Yes, I trust he was brought up to pray. But he was in extremity. He was in a great trouble. And how it pleased my heart to realize, he cried unto the Lord. Cried unto the Lord. And I don't know what his prayer or petition was. Perhaps it was just a word. Perhaps it was three words. Lord, help me. He didn't know what to do. He was stood there. You think about it. Winter. Car in the ditch. Obviously worried about the car and what with respect the parents, what a reaction might be. Weren't pleased about the car, of course. But, you know, he cried unto the Lord. Real prayer. Prayer wrought out because he was in trouble. He was in an extremity. And the Lord heard his prayer. It's wonderful, isn't it? What happened is a farmer, as soon as he offered up his prayer, a farmer came along the road in his tractor. And that farmer was I don't know if he's religious, I don't know anything about that farmer, but I would go as far as to say he was a good man, earthly wise. As soon as the farmer came, those not very nice people drove off, and that was an answer to prayer, because I didn't know what to do, didn't know where it would happen, didn't know where it would end. And the farmer then took my son, took him into his farmhouse, looked after him until we got there. We went up there, and we had to wait for about 2 or 3 hours for the recovery van. And my son said, he heard, and he answered. Now, I'm sure that isn't the only time he'd offered up prayer. But when he said that, it warmed our heart. It warmed our heart. Now, and I say that as an example, what a mercy if in your trouble you cry unto the Lord. And let me be absolutely clear. It's not necessarily the big things. Not necessarily the really bad extremities. No, nothing's too small to pray to the Lord about. Absolutely not. The children here. When you're at school. When there are those things, those trials, those difficulties. You don't know, pray unto the Lord. Lord, help me. Lord, undertake for me. There's nothing too small to pray unto the Lord about. Nothing too big either. No. So what a mercy to cry unto the Lord. What a mercy if you've really cried unto the Lord in your trouble. Cried unto him. Now what a mercy that you and I have a prayer-hearing God. Have you ever thought about that? One that condescends to men of low degree. One who hears the prayer of his people. Who regards the prayer of the destitute. And does not despise their prayer. How often we feel in our prayers so poor, so destitute. And we feel, what's the point in praying at times? The Lord won't hear. The Lord won't answer. What unbelief. But may we cry unto the Lord. May you cry unto the Lord in your trouble. And what a comfort it is. You're not sure you've known that comfort. To cry unto the Lord. In your trouble. Now, our friend Ollie mentioned it. In the pathway, it's not all trouble. And I don't want to give the impression it is all trouble. It's not. There are the balancing of the clouds. There is that time when we're able to rejoice. Rightly rejoice. In what he has done for us. But as I said, my son, when he said he cried, I rejoiced in the fact that he cried. What a strange thing to say, but I did. I thought, wonderful. A wonderful prayer hearing. Now let me go further. You and I have got so much more than a prayer hearing God. It's a mercy to have a prayer hearing God, isn't it? To one who doesn't slumber, one who doesn't sleep, one whose ears are ever attentive to the prayers of his people. One who delights to hear the prayers of his people. One who hears the prayer and answers. Think of Paul. That pathway that Paul walked. There were many trials, many difficulties, many extremities. The number of times that he was stoned and lashed. But he could write this in the writing to the Corinthians. We are troubled on every side. Troubled on every side. Yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Many troubles he had. Yeah, troubles on every side. You might have troubles on every side. Or encompassing you, great troubles. Yet not distressed. Yet not distressed. Why not distressed? Because there's a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God, an almighty God, one who knows exactly what he will do. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. We often may be perplexed in our troubles. We don't know where the scene will end. We don't know what the outcome will be. We don't see the end, we see the beginning. Perplexed, but not in despair. Because an almighty God's in control. And he has said, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Troubled, yes, but not distressed. Perplexed, yes, but not in despair. Some of you may know a little bit of my history. Some of you may know that when we first moved up to this area of the country, our son, our second child, diagnosed with cancer. Stage 4, the worst type. Throughout is in his lungs and so on. And we had to go down, we were down to Great Ormond Street for a long period of time. And the friends were so very kind to us. But we were down there, and I remember once going into the canteen to get food. We were allowed to take him into the canteen to get food because he would not let my wife leave him at all. She was permanently with him almost. She couldn't even go to the toilet without him becoming so distressed. But we went down to the canteen. And I remember when I walked into that canteen, it's still with me. I remember seeing a young man in a padded wheelchair. Half his head was missing. A terrible affliction, and it was padded because he couldn't turn his head. And the thought came to me, how do they cope? How do they cope without a God to go to? Well, friends, you and I have got a God to go to. To cry unto him in your difficulty, in your extremity, in your trial, in your difficulty. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. What a mercy to cry unto the Lord. What a mercy to give them that faith and that belief. To cry unto him. To lay out our petitions before. And as I said, perhaps not great words. Perhaps not a long prayer. Perhaps not an audible prayer. Help me. And perhaps even not a Lord help me. It's a groan. It's a sigh. Those feeble desires, those wishes so weak. 'Tis Jesus inspires and bids thee still see. To cry unto him. What a comfort. Sure you've known that comfort in your troubles, in your anxieties, in your trials. To cry unto him. Troubles. And those troubles can be manifest. I may not have listed your troubles. You may have your own troubles. Your own difficulties. Your own extremities. Nahum. The Lord is good. Have you not proved the Lord is good, even in troubles? How he upholds, how he strengthens, how he supports, and it's often not known till we look back and we can see these things. I've mentioned myself. How do we got through that time? I don't know. Well, I do know how we got through that time. The Lord brought us through. The Lord uphold us. The Lord strengthened us. But it's looking back often we see these things. The Lord is good. Have you not proved the goodness of God? You have, haven't you? The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. He's a stronghold. And we have to hasten to that stronghold. He's a refuge. He's a high tower. He's everything. The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them that trust on him. Now who are these that trust him? It's these that cry unto him. Those that are brought to cry unto him. What a mercy to cry unto him, to really cry unto him. in this psalm. This verse, or the first part of this verse, is four times with a slightly different ending. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. And there is no vain repetition in the word of God. Every single word is essential, and every word is necessary. In your trouble, trouble after trouble perhaps, manifold troubles, six troubles, seven troubles, cry unto the Lord. Cry unto the Lord in your trouble. And in these four examples, the first example, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Then they cried unto the Lord. And then that labour, therefore he brought their heart down with labour. They fell down, there was none to help. Cry unto the Lord. Their faults because their transgressions, because their iniquities are afflicted. Cry unto the Lord. Then they brought to Wits End Corner. You might have gone to Wits End Corner, when literally you stagger from one thing to another, like a drunken man, all strength gone, all support gone, reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and at wit's end. What do you do at wit's end? Cry unto the Lord. What a comfort this is, to cry unto the Lord. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. In John, we read of the Lord saying to his disciples, they were troubled. They were troubled over three things, predominantly. The first was that he said he was going to leave them. Second, that one of them was going to betray him. The third, that one of them was going to deny him. And the Lord said this, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I would come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In the world ye shall have tribulation. And that's the law, isn't it? Tribulation, trials, not all the time, as I said. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. He's an overcoming God on behalf of his people. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Remember those in the Revelation? They come out of great trouble, great tribulation, and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. What a mercy to call upon him. What a mercy that he brings his people through. That doesn't mean you won't have trouble. No. And that trouble is the lot of the Lord's people. I know it's the lot of the world. And I may talk about that in a minute if the Lord directs my thoughts in that ways. But trouble. Remember that for the Lord's people, this is not our home. This is not our rest. It is polluted. We have no continuing city here. We seek one to come. This is not, and if we, trials and difficulties, this is not our rest, it's not our homes in heaven, where all tears will be wiped away. No trouble, no affliction, no, it's heaven, isn't it? But what a mercy that we, here below, we can crawl unto him. We can pour out our petitions before him. And in Isaiah we read this, it's a very wonderful word, as all word of God is, of course, but and it shall come to pass that before they call, this is the love of God to his people, before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Do you think about that? That he could, such love to his people, such love to those who, perhaps he's the last they call upon, but he should be the first. And yet when they call,
when they're brought to that extremity, when they have to call, they must call. They might have looked to the Egypt for help. They might have looked at that broken reed. They might have looked at other, and then they call unto the Lord. And it came to pass that before they call, before even mouths open, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Now what a mercy meant to call upon him in our trouble, in your trouble, and to know that in our troubles we're not alone. There is that one who sticketh closer than a brother, that brother born for adversity. And what a mercy the word of God speaks of those everlasting arms that are underneath, upholding, strengthening, and we can't fall below those. Now, we can fall into them, and that's what we should do, of course, in our troubles. But what a mercy that we can call upon the Lord. And he is good. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Now, everything that happens in our lives is through the will of God or the permissive will of God, as in the case, of course, of Job, where the Lord permitted Satan to go so far and no further. But every single experience that the Lord brings into our lives, or that he permits Satan to bring, for our teaching. He teaches his people to profit. Now what a mercy if in our troubles, we're taught. We have so much we need to be taught. Well, I do. I'm so ignorant. We need to be taught so much. And what do we need to be taught? We need to be taught that the pathway here below is a pathway of complete dependence on him. Can't depend on ourselves or any others. It's that dependence, it's that leaning upon him. And often in troubles, we're brought to that extremity when we have to lean upon him. It's a pathway of absolute dependence. And I believe that if we come to a situation where we become independent, when we think we can do things, then if we're along to the Lord's people, the Lord will deal with that. The Lord will bring us into a circumstance when we know we can't do anything. Know that we're incapable of doing anything. And we have to go to him. We have to cry unto him. So the pathway is a pathway of complete dependence on him for all things. We're incapable of a right thought. Incapable of right action unless the Lord grants it to us. We have to cry unto the Lord for that. For grace. By grace we are saved. And we have to cry unto the Lord to grant me more grace. And we can't even ask for that grace unless the Lord grants us that desire to ask for the grace. We're such incapable creatures. So it's a pathway of dependence. It's a pathway of prayer. We have to pray our way along. Coming here this morning, I had to pray my way along. Just so many prayers that you offered up for the services today. We have to pray our way along. And not just in journeys. Pray our way along as we go through this wilderness journey. This is not our home. We have to pray, Lord, help me. Lord, guide me. Lord, direct me. It's a pathway of prayer. The Lord will have his people in that union and communion with him. The Lord will have his people. Pray unto him. And I believe, I can look at my own pathway, if there is ever a time when we become prayerless, if we ever become a time when our prayers become formal, and they can, well, I can. If there are a time when our prayers aren't as inopportune, big word, aren't so needy, the Lord will bring us into a circumstance, or the Lord may, I have to be careful, because the Lord's a sovereign. The Lord may bring us into a circumstance where we have to cry unto him. Have you not proved it? Times when troubles come in, and what do we have to do? Hasten to him, Lord, help me. So if we become prayerless or careless, the Lord will permit trouble to come. So we cry unto him. So our prayers become more needy, more urgent, more dependent. So it's a pathway of dependence. It's a pathway of prayer. It's a pathway of union and communion with him, though. Doesn't always leave us. No, the Lord may hide his face from us because we've sinned or backslided. Or the Lord may hide his face from us to make us hunger and thirst after him. And that was one of these, then they cried unto the Lord. He satisfies the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. So that when we become cold, when we become formal, the Lord may withdraw His presence. So we grasp a greater hunger and thirst after Him. Prayer again, I will not let thee go. Have you ever prayed that? You cannot let Him go. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Someone here want a blessing? Until thou bless me. Bless me with that knowledge. Bless me with thy salvation. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, whose iniquity is covered. I will not let thee... That's a good cry, isn't it? I will not let thee go. I cannot let thee go. I will not let thee go. Now you cling to Him. Cling to Him. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. So this pathway here below is a pathway of prayer. Pathway of prayer. I failed so much in it. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. How often we forget that, glorify me. Yeah, troubles and difficulties. And if the Lord brings us through, if the Lord relieves that trouble, we must remember to give that praise to you unto Him, that thanks to you, to glorify Him, not to glorify in ourselves, but to glorify in Him, to glorify in what He has done. I have to, journey, just go back to cars. You know, I've got in the car park here. What's the first thing I should have done? Thank the Lord for journeying. How short a failure I am. Kept park and safe from dangers that are seen, dangers that are unseen. Oh, we must praise Him. Praise Him from whom all goodness flows. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And cannot you look back? Look back in your pathway. Look back at those times when you've been brought to that wit's end corner and cried unto Him. And have there not been times when the Lord's answered your prayer, your poor prayer, perhaps not in the way you wanted or the way you desired? But it's that praising God. It's that goodness of God for hearing prayer, for answer, sustaining, upholding. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. And that's what we do in prayer, isn't it? If the Lord enables us to. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. Doesn't mean He'll take it away. Think of Paul, thorn in the flesh. 3 times he besought the Lord that he remove that thorn in the flesh. But the Lord, it wasn't the Lord's will to remove that thorn in the flesh. And I often thought it's wonderful it doesn't say what that thorn is, because then we might think that mightn't apply to you. You might have a thorn in the flesh. I have, it's my sin. It's my failings, my shortcomings. And Satan's not short to bring them back to my remembrance. Don't get me wrong. I know the Lord's people's sins are cast behind the Lord's back into the depths of the ocean. But that doesn't mean we forget them. It doesn't mean Satan forgets them and he won't forget them. So you might have your own thorn in the flesh. It might be the same as mine. It might be a different one. But what did the Lord say to Paul? My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And notice the linkage there. Our weakness, our insufficiency, our lack of strength, His grace. My grace is made. It's His grace. My strength is made perfect in me. It's His strength. We have to prove that. In our pathway. We have to prove our weakness, our inability, our lack of strength. That we cry unto Him. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And He delivered them out of their distress. Now what a mercy that the Lord upholds His people in their trials. In their difficulty. Doesn't let them sink totally underneath it. No. Now have you not proved it? When you're in that difficulty, when you're in that extremity, and perhaps you might wonder how I'm going to get through, how the Lord upholds His people, the Lord sustains His people, if you've not proved it. And we're not in despair. Yes, perplexed. Often wonder why these things are. I mean, if trials and difficulties come, we need the Lord to search us, to try us, to search me and try me. If there be any wicked way in me, lead me in that way everlasting. But we're not in despair. Because He's in control. And He knows exactly what He will do. All things work together for good. Because He's a good God. But even in trials, even in difficulties, yes. And I can testify to that. And trust you, some of you can. Glorify the Lord in the fires. in the fire, in the trial, in the difficulty, glorify him in it. It takes grace to do that. It takes grace to be submissive. It takes grace to look to him, to believe in him. What a mercy that we can cry unto the Lord in our trouble. And what a mercy if the Lord delivers us, saves us, helps us in our distresses. Now, the world has troubles, of course it does. But what does it do in them? It hardens. It brings them to the absolute despair in cases. Well, there was a lady at our chapel, at my chapel, the one I go to, and she came in the last Lord's Day in a great difficulty. She was very upset because her next door neighbour had taken his life. Okay, she knew the next door neighbour. I won't go into his circumstances. I'm not a judge of any man. And he was left to that absolute despair. Absolute despair. He just took his life. What a mercy we've got a God to go to, friends. What a mercy that we're not like that. We're not left to despair. No, we turn to the Lord. May the Lord enable us to turn to him. May the Lord enable us to look to him. May the Lord enable us to call upon him. And Peter, this came to me this morning. Peter, beloved. And Peter writing to those strangers through Cappadocia, Asia and Bithynia. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try. So you may not be in trouble at this very moment. But you might be in the next week, the next month. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, he shall be glad also with exceeding joy. I was talking to one earlier in the week in one of our Bethesda homes who's in a great affliction, and a bodily affliction, very weak. But he was in a good place spiritually. What a mercy to be in a good place spiritually. And he could say this: our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. It's good for me that I've been afflicted, that the Lord sanctify these troubles, use these troubles to draw our affection unto him, to draw our cries unto him. And may you in your trials cry unto him, and may we remember the sufferings of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. His way was much deeper and darker than mine. Did my Lord suffer, and shall I repine? May the Lord not leave us to that spirit to murmur, to repine, but may we cry unto him. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way, that he might go to a city. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Yes, even in troubles, even in affliction. Then they cried unto the Lord, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Amen.